I thank you, Father God, that your children are sitting in your house alive and not dead. I thank you, Father, that their spirits are running high with you and that you are taking us on a journey we're never going to forget. And Father, I know that your angelic host is here this night ministering to your people. And I ask you right now, Father God, that if there's heavy hearts in here, to take the load from their hearts, make their hearts light, Father. Let us be like Joseph. No matter what he went through, he kept his eyes upon you. And he did not complain. And you brought him out of the lower depths of hell. And you made him a ruler. And Father, I just thank you and I praise you that your children are learning to become rulers. And Father, let your anointing destroy the yokes right now. Let your anointing drop down and do a complete works tonight. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, I'm warning you, you have to be careful, because if you're not, the enemy's going to take you out. We are at the end of the age, and a great falling away has already occurred. Everything I read, I never heard such a falling away of what's going on right now. Tonight, I'm going to, thank you very much, Aaron. I might hair you. Tonight, I'm going to teach on the gathering of the eagles because of this word that God gave me, all right? Let's read this word. There is a gathering of the eagles going on. He gave this to me on November the 29th. I have assembled you all together to do a perfect works in this hour. You are a unique breed of generals that will go forth and conquer on all sides. This is the eagles, all right? The enemy has been plaguing and tormenting this group of eagles for way too long now, and I have sent out special agents from the heavenly throne room to dismantle this group of evildoers. You must understand at this time that you have been targeted because of your callings first, and then your faithfulness of staying by your post no matter what the circumstances. Many are being called out, that's C-U-L-L-E-D, at this given time, and this elite group, the eagles, will see them no more. In other words, God is calling out people in the house of God, and he's moving them. They think they're moving themselves, but he's moving them because they are not doing what God's called them to do. He went on to say, "Be still and be patient, for I am truly at the helm of the ship, and I am steering the udder. My battle plans have been drawn up for quite some time now, and I am sending out special messengers at this given time to give each of you your special battle plans. Always remember that you are a unique force of soldiers that will lead many back into my kingdom. Swords have been drawn and a battle has begun. Stay at your post." I feel sorry for any of you in here this night that's feeling sorry for yourself or your circumstances. I really am. I really am. I do feel sorry for you. Because God has been telling us all along that we're going to go through this season of hell. And he's told us that we're going to have to fight our battle. You know, that he's already given us everything we need. He already equipped us in his word. And we have to use those things that he's given us. And we need to fight the battle ourselves, even though God is there with us. You know, I spoil every one of my kids, all right? So I know what it is to have a bunch of spoiled kids around you. And God doesn't spoil us. He makes us work. Because when you have spoiled kids, they just lay back on their back and say, do this, do that, do the other. And God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to be strong towers that many can run into. All right, so when I got this word, I didn't know what this was. And I researched it, and this is what I found out, all right? Jesus taught his first century followers he would come again at a future date to provide salvation to the righteous. When asked by the disciples about when he would return, or more accurately, where he would come back, Jesus mentioned, among other things, a gathering of the eagles, or gathering of eagles. So Matthew 24:15 says, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand." Now, let me just stop there. When I was very first saved back in 1970, I'm born again back in 1977, God gave me that scripture and said I was living in that dispensation of time. We have been living in the end time era for quite some time now. So we don't have time to mess up because we don't know at what second, what day, or what hour that Jesus is going to return for his church. All right? Then verse 16 says, then let those who are in... Well, let's start 15 again, Nancy. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. So verse 21 is telling you what he just said in all the other verses. It says, for at that given time, there will be great tribulation, all right, on the earth, such as has not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. When this tribulation occurs in this dispensation of time that we live in, it's never going to be seen again, according to this, right? And verse 22 says, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out, or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as a lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Now, God said back here in verse 24, for false Christs and false prophets will rise. That's already happened, right? People are, you know, we've heard of many different churches, organizations have risen up and told the people that Jesus was coming, took them to the mountains and this and that and the other. That's already happened. If you really look at what's been happening in church history, a lot of this stuff has already taken place. And we are quickly heading for the end of this age, period. So he said, for wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Now, Jesus said world conditions would get worse and worse nearing the time for his return. What's going on today? World conditions are getting worse and worse. Jesus went on to compare his second coming to the days of Noah and Lot. And when I was first born again, saved in 1977, God said, daughter, you're living in the days of Noah. So I know that if he told me that in 77, that we had to be living in the days of Noah before then. So we've been living in this disgruntled world for quite some time, and God's been trying to get the church's attention, but we already know the church did not listen to God, and so God has left, his grace has left the church, and now he's going out into the highways and the byways. And this is why he's been trying to raise up leaders to go out into the highways and the byways and to teach the homeless, to teach the people in workplaces about Jesus so they can have a chance to either receive him or reject him before Jesus Christ comes to take his children on home. All right? You're just not here just because it's nice. You're here to be taught to be a leader. And this is why you go through so much trials and tribulations, because God is trying to make you strong like an eagle. He's trying to get your attention to be focused on him and him only. And I know our circumstances are bad. I mean, I don't have my head stuck in the sand. I know the circumstances in each one of our lives are different, but they're bad. They're not good. But we have to keep holding on to the hand of God to go ahead and walk this thing out. So then Jesus said world conditions would get worse and worse nearing the time for his return. Jesus went on to compare his second coming to the days of Noah and Lot, when the righteous were preserved alive while the wicked were destroyed. So when you read about Noah, he was, and I put down Noah and his family were the only righteous ones in his time. And Lot was, and because his family was righteous because they lived there with him, okay? And then I put down, and Lot was the only righteous one in Sodom and Gomorrah when God destroyed the two cities. But we also know when it comes to Lot, it was Abraham that saved Lot, through prayer, all right? But still, no, Lot was a righteous man in those wicked cities, okay? So you only had two men in those times. In the scripture, now I'm teaching you this because you have to decide, am I going to be an eagle or am I going to be a chicken? I'm not going to bring up chickens here, but that's the only way I can do this thing, you know? I do have a teaching on chickens I might do Wednesday. But anyhow, you have to decide, am I going to be a true eagle? Am I going to be a true leader? And am I going to get my head up in the third heaven where God wants me? Or am I going to stay down here and do nothing? All right? In the scripture we just read, what did Jesus mean by saying eagles would be gathered around the body? The Bible sometimes uses eating in a symbolic way. Jesus told his first century followers to eat his body and drink his blood. And that's in Matthew 26:26. And it said, and as they were eating, Jesus and his disciples, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Clearly here, Jesus didn't intend them literally to eat him, but to strive to become like him, to strive to know what he knew. And God's been dealing with us a long time about that. In John 4:34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So your food, fasting, put your food aside, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. In similar fashion, our food is to learn from and follow Christ. All right? We are to learn from Christ, the red letters. I love that song. And then follow Christ. And John 6:48 says, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven, period. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Now, Jesus is not talking about literally eating him. Again, he's talking about us learning about him, learning what he did in the situations of life. And don't come to me and say, because I already did this to God years ago and chastised me. Well, he was a son. He was, you know, he was spirit. He didn't have to. Well, that is not. No, that won't fly. You know, he was human and he did not have to do what the Father asked him to do. But he did. You don't have to do what the Father asked you to do either. Some of you don't. But if you're going to be an eagle, what you need to do is do what the Father's asking you to do and quit your stupidity. And it is stupidity when you reject the things that Jesus did for you. I know times are hard. I know that. They're going to get harder. We're going to have a recession. What are you going to do then? Come on. What are you going to do then? The Bible, as God's word, is a spiritual food coming down from heaven that we must feed on today. You need to learn to read your word every day. Our studying the Bible is comparable to eating the body of Christ. Jesus gave his life to bring us what is recorded in the Bible. Therefore, the scriptures help us understand why Jesus Christ would say of these last days, where the body is, the eagles will be gathered together. The eagles are those individuals feeding on Christ through the word of God, those who are expending their energies to learn what the Bible teaches. That's what eagles are doing. Chickens are going around complaining. Where's my next meal coming from? Where, how am I going to buy my next pack of cigarettes? Where am I going to get gas for my vehicle? You see what I'm saying here? Eagles aren't concerned about that. They are concerned about what God would have them to do. In answer to his disciples' question of where their deliverance would occur, Jesus told them they would simply need to be feeding on the words he was speaking. The words Jesus spoke are alive in that they have the ability to judge us by means of our own conscience. In other words, when we read the word, then are we doing what the word is telling us to do? Now, if you're true with yourself, some of you can say, not 99% of the time, I'm not. You know what I'm saying? No, let's say not 50% of the time. I'll give you a little bit of a leeway there. You're not doing what the red letters tell you to do. The eagles learn what Jesus taught, which is the red letters. Because Jesus tied a gathering of eagles to his second coming and to deliverance for the righteous, we examine the Bible to see anywhere else it mentions eagle in the context of deliverance. Now let me stop there. See, God's told me, as we read in the prophetic word that he gave me, that there is a gathering of the eagles taking place. So God is gathering up those who are been into the word and who are living by the word. He's not gathering those who have, you know, I have watched the body of Christ for 40 years now, and you can have as much knowledge in that little pea brain of yours as you can want in there and still not know God. You still don't really know the word. Instead of following people and what they're saying, what you need to do is get back in the word and see what Jesus was doing. And that's why, I don't know about you, but I said the other day, I said, God, there's so much confusion in the body of Christ. Arguing about this and arguing about that. And people, one pastor write an article about another pastor, and that never should be. And that's happening because they are not reading the word properly. They are not using the word properly. Psalm 103, verse 2 through 6 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. This is what God does for us. I don't care if you can see it or not. He's either doing it or he wants to do it. You know, he's doing it if you're following Christ and giving your life totally and completely over to him. But if you're still trying to control your life, then he's wanting to do it, but he can't do it. Isaiah 40, verse 29 says, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with eagles, with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. When I was studying this, I read two people's articles where they said it was vultures eating the body of Christ. I thought, now see how they twist the scriptures? All right, notice that both these scriptures tie eagles to a renewing of energy and of life, to a returning to one's youth and strength beyond what we have ever known. What has God been telling us? I'm going to turn you back to your youth. I'm going to give you your strength back. It is very important to understand the gathering of eagles and realize there is a group of sincere children of God trying to learn what Jesus taught and be obedient to his teachings. It is very important to understand this gathering of eagles and realize there is a group of sincere children of God trying to learn what Jesus taught and be obedient to his teachings. And Matthew 24:31 says, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. This tells us that it is the elect that will be gathered up, not the wicked. One scholar researched this passage and said Jesus was saying, when the body of Christ is spiritually dead, for the most part, and the cup of the church of Laodicea's sin has reached its fullness, Jesus, I will come and gather together the eagles among them who are still seeing me clearly and soaring ever upward toward me. And that makes a lot of sense. You're right in here today. We might have some people sitting here dead. And if Jesus would come, he would just gather the eagles, and dead ones that didn't really want to change and didn't fight to change, they would be sitting here still. Isn't that what the rapture is all about? And we don't know. He might do it today. I might be standing here across the room. Where'd everybody go? You know what I'm saying? You don't know. You just work. You just do what you're supposed to do through the word and what God tells you to do, believing that you're going to go into rapture. All right? Now, if the shoe fits, put it on. All right, the following passage speaks of believers being raised up unto salvation on eagle's wings in order to become treasured leaders and priests in God's holy kingdom. Exodus 19, verse 4 says, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptian and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my..." This is what eagles have to do. "Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." So then, if we... Verse 4 says, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and we know what he did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, how he bore up... the people, you know, and didn't let them get killed, and brought you to myself. He said, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine." Come on, are you an eagle or not? If and then. If and then. It's always if and then. All right. Isaiah referred to believers having their strength renewed as if they had eagle's wings. Now, Isaiah 40, verse 30 says, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength." In other words, as we stay in God's presence, as we read his word, as we believe, and as we trust and obey. "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." See that? If you really... give yourself over to God. And if you really, you know, fast, pray, read his word, and be obedient to what he's telling you to do, then he'll strengthen you. At the time of the rapture, the bride of Christ and the five wise virgins will be taken up to the third heaven where Christ abides. I think it was over 5 years ago that God told me that we were in that dispensation of time of the virgins, who some had the oil and some didn't. And he's, you know, and he said, "In my body," and he told me this over 5 years ago, "in my body, there are those who are not prepared to go when I come, and they'll be still sitting there when I take the others away." Come on. So who are you? Are you the virgins that have the oil and you're ready when Jesus comes? Are you the ones that didn't get any oil and you're going to be sitting there sleeping when he comes and takes the church away? Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." The only ones that are going to go to heaven is those who does the will of the Father in heaven. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?'" Some of you say that to him right now. And then he went on to say, "And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.' I don't care how much prophetic word you do. I don't care how many blind eyes you open. I don't care what kind of miracles it works through you. If you aren't following and being obedient to God, it's not doing you any good." All right, verse 24 says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them..." See, does them. "I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Are you building on a rock or on the sand? You have to ask yourself these questions. Are you relying on what somebody else thinks about you? You know, if God's told you to do something and you just like I did that one time years ago, "Well, what will people think about me?" Then you might as well just quit right there, because you're not an eagle. An eagle's going to go ahead and do what God tells him to do and take the flak anyhow. All right? Acts 26:25 says, "But he said, 'I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason.'" This is Paul speaking. "For the king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things. For I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner." He's saying, "You already know what I'm talking about. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." And Paul said, "I would to God that not only you, but also who hear me today, might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. Paul said, I wished everybody was just like me, so sold out to God that they didn't care what they had to go through. They were going to go through it because that's what God asked them to do. See that? Question, how should knowledge of this gathering of eagles impact you? You know, if you have the knowledge of the gathering of the eagles, how does it impact you? The eagles of Jesus' illustration recognized feeding on the body of Christ meant their very lives. They did not gather to be accepted or approved by other eagles. They gathered to feed. If you're seeking approval of other people, then you are not an eagle. Jesus didn't want approval of other people. You know, I've told you many times, I don't care what you think of me. I don't care if you stay or go. I tell the truth, you know, teach the truth to the word. So, the eagles of Jesus' illustration recognized feeding on the body of Christ meant their very lives. They did not gather to be accepted or approved by other eagles. They gathered to feed. If you recognize this truth, you should strive to be immersed in studying and understanding and then in applying God's word. We have so many people that have passed through these doors over the 40 years or whatever we've been open, and they hear a word or two, or get a prophecy or two, and boy, they're up to ready to start a church. They run out and start a church, and they fall flat in their face because they weren't ready. They didn't study to show themselves approved. They didn't sit until God said move. They just moved. Do not give any consideration to those who gathered to judge. And 1 Peter 4:1-4 says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. In other words, you don't care what other people are saying or thinking. You do what the Father is telling you to do the way the Father tells you to do it. You know, Sister Elaine always asks her my permission if she cannot be in service because she's going to go do something for the homeless. And really, truly, she doesn't have to ask me that, even though I thank her for doing it, because she's doing the will of the Father. I know she's doing the will of the Father, and I know she's not going astray. She's doing what God's telling her to do. If it happens to be a church day, that's her church day out there doing the will of the Father. Do you understand that, Elaine? You know, so you don't have to feel bad about not sitting in the house of God. If I have a problem with that, then I have the problem. Because if you're doing the will of the Father, then that is where you should be, out on the street, doing the will of the Father. Verse 3 says, For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, you know, the world, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. We did enough of that before we got saved. Why are we still doing that when we get saved? In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dispensation, speaking evil of you. In other words, if you were out there being a sinner, then all of a sudden God got a hold of you, and you became a child of God, then that sinner's going to want you to still to run with them, and you say no, they're going to get all upset and say, they're going to say you're nuts and everything else. They're going to poke fun at you. Is that going to bother you? You're just going to smile and just keep right on walking. We must always be aware that there might always be someone in your midst that is not walking holy. Are you listening here? You know, in this church, I know there's times that my staff is not walking holy. God shows me that. What do I have to do about that? I have to pray. Sometimes I call and say, dingbat, get yourself together. You know, but, you know, I don't throw them out. Amen. So we must always be aware that there might always be someone in your midst that is not walking holy. Jesus' hand-picked group had a sinner in it. Judas was a sinner. What God is looking for is a group of people that does not have one unrighteous person in their midst. So that is what he's looking for. He wants to look for a staff that everyone will be holy and righteous. And when he gets that, then he can work. That's why he keeps saying, my eyes are still looking, searching to and fro for a man. And he means man or woman who will serve me with all their heart, who will give up their flesh. You see this? But like I said, and it goes to you too, Barbara, you're always not going to have holy people around you. You're not going to always have people, everybody around you is not going to hear the voice of God. There's always going to be somebody that's around you that's going to say, you're not doing it right. You're not listening. You're being disobedient. If you're really doing the will of the Father, the way the Father wants it done, then you just have to smile and be humble and go on and do what God's telling you to do. And you can't judge because somebody in your midst is not walking the way you're walking. You have to hand them before the Father, and I mean hold them before the Father and tell the Father, please change them. Don't say, kick them out. You say, Father God, please change them so they can be a holy standard here for all to see. You see this? All right, the best we can do is to have hope in those who demonstrate they are putting faith in the Word of God by the love they show for others. In other words, I said there's not everybody's going to be righteous in your midst, and all we can do is hope that they are working on getting themselves right before the Father. What we can and must do is strive to learn what Christ taught, then apply what we learn in our lives and freely share that gift with others. Read that again. What we can and must do is strive to learn what Christ taught, apply what we learn in our lives, and freely share that gift with others. I want you all to really just go home someday and just sit down and think about your past. From a little child on up, was you one that was pampered, or was you one that your parents made you be a leader? Or was you always a leader? Whether somebody made you be a leader or not, somehow or other, you always end up being the leader. Now, if you always ended up being the leader, or like my father, he made me be the leader, you know, then God was preparing you. He was preparing me to do what I'm doing today. I couldn't go roller skating with the rest of the girls because I was babysitting 11 kids. I couldn't go to the movies. I couldn't do this. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do the other. But I remember I never complained. And somebody said, one mother said to me, I think it's cruel the way your parents don't let you enjoy life. And I said, I'm enjoying life. And I was. I was doing what now I know the Father had me do, and that was to take care of little children and to raise them up. What am I doing today? Taking care of little children and raising them up. God was training me from early on. So if you really look back at your past and you see what went on, and you're just like whenever I come home from church of all places and I was homeless. My little box of clothes with my other five brothers and sisters was sitting out on the porch that you no longer have a place to live. I became homeless within an hour. But God took care of me. And see, and now I know that He wanted me to have compassion on the homeless. So He made me homeless at one point in my life. And then when my first husband and I were married, you know, we moved every year. And so we lived in a car. So see, I have compassion for people who have to live in a car and go bathe in the stream and make your food over, make yourself a little campfire and cook your food that way. I have compassion for people like that. And as I look back at what I went through, and I was always happy going through these things. And my kids always said, we thought we just on one big camping trip. And you know, they were happy that they because I made it a joyful time for them, for all of us. But now I see that God was just growing me up and give me character so I could then do the works He's had me do today. You see this? Look back at your life and look at it in a positive way now and see that even though things look just like Joseph, even though things look like they were negative, they really weren't, because God had something great waiting for you. He was preparing you for that. Joseph ended up being a leader in that nation. You see this? And like Joseph, you know, he was his father's favorite, and I was my father's favorite, but I was the one that he always chastise because I was the oldest and I knew better. And this is God chastised me. You're the one I called to do the church. You do your job. You see this? We need to look at our lives in the right perspective. I've never looked back at my past until God told me, look back at your past and see what I did with you and where I brought you from. All right, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, we must read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John over and over again and strive to be just like Jesus if we are going to if we are going to be among the gathering of the eagles. How do I become an eagle? Follow Exodus 19. Exodus 19, 4 through 6, we read it earlier. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. In other words, you're an eagle, you're going to be a strong leader, and God's going to give you the words to speak to the people. He's going to give you the anointing that's needed whenever you're speaking to the people. And the people are going to be changed and rearranged and changed in the vision into the image of Jesus, just like you are. We go about our walk with God so wrong, so backwards, so backwards. And we are supposed to be moving forward, not sideways and not backwards, but forward into the arms of Jesus. Now, as I was studying, I studied a lot to get this together because it's important. But I got to thinking about, and a lot of them talked about the third heaven. I think about the time when God invited us up to the third heaven and told us to abide there. If you're going to be an eagle, you have to go to the third heaven and abide there. You can no longer abide on this earthly realm. You have to go to the third heaven where Jesus is seated, and you have to stay under that anointing, and you have to glean from Jesus. That's the only way you're going to become an eagle. All right, and I'm hearing God say, and a strong tower. An eagle, he's saying, an eagle and a strong tower go together. If you're an eagle, then you're going to be a strong tower that others can run into because they see the anointing. They hear the authority in your voice. And they're not repelled by you, but the true Christians are not repelled by you, but they are drawn to you. Amen. I never forget, you know, whenever I was talking about how when the people were drawn to me all the time, men were always hugging and kissing on me, you know, and then my husband, who really did love me, but then the devil said, see, you don't really love her. You were just drawn to the spirit in her. Dumb. You know, see, this is, people are so dumb. You let the devil tell you anything. Yeah, this is your mind. It's not a garbage can. It isn't. It's your mind. You should keep it purified. You should have the mind of Jesus, and Jesus wouldn't believe any of the stuff that you believe. He just wouldn't. I don't want you guys to lose out on God, and I'm really concerned about some of you because I know that you waver. You're always wavering. If things don't go the way you think they should, you waver. And you shouldn't do that. Well, it's up to you. Are you an eagle or are you a chicken? Eagles soar. Chickens go around their head in the dirt, picking out the pieces of food that's in the dirt. And I'm tired of cluck, cluck, clucking. Amen. Aren't you? I'm tired of having to walk behind somebody else. I don't really do that, but this is what a chicken does. They'll walk behind and they'll take up whatever's left behind. I don't want that. I never have one of that. And God told me one time, you settle for second best, and I want you to have the very best. And how about you? In my mind, from a little girl on up, I had the biggest mansion in my head that I was going to live in that you ever wanted to see. And if I don't get it till I get to heaven, at least it's going to be what I wanted. I haven't lived in a mansion yet. But I know he has one prepared for me, even if it's when I go to heaven. And I'm going to be happy with whatever little dirt house he gives me while I'm down here, right? I was glad the song service was what it was because it went right along with the message. I was glad it was perky and upbeat, and I was glad you'd sang about the fire and set it on fire thing, you know. So we need to set our junk on fire. We need to quit looking back, and we need to keep going forward, and we just need to keep trusting. Some of us have made our own messes. So what are you complaining about? You did it. You thought it was great when you were doing it. So quit complaining about it. Now what you do now, you just keep plowing forward. And you'll eventually get to wherever God's wanting you to go. That's God said, even get your head out of the clouds and walk and soar like an eagle. And be the man or woman of God that called you forth to be. And he said, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So don't get into condemnation tonight. I want to encourage you to trust God to make you an eagle. And when he said there's a gathering of the eagles, he wants you there. He wants you to be that leader. He wants you to be that person, you know, that is going to lead others out of their place of despair, out of their pits. Come on. Sister Shirley was telling me today that she said, you know, whenever you tell the devil, get behind me, and if you're always looking behind you, then that's where the devil's at. And you're in his territory, so you have to look forward, right? I said, that's neat. I never thought about it that way. But she said, you're always saying, get thee behind me, Satan. And then you're always turning around looking back of you. And you're in his territory. You're not in God's territory. Eagles or chickens, it's up to you. I don't even have an altar call tonight because you know what? You know what to do. Go home and read the red letters. Read all about Jesus. That's what, remember I told you God told me, read everything my son went through and then come to me and complain. So I read all the red letters and I cried and I said, I have nothing to complain about. I wanted to be more like Jesus. Well, I still have to be more like Jesus. There's still more of my flesh that has to die. Take up your cross every day. Bear your cross because God's with you. Father God, we thank you and we praise you for your message tonight. And Father God, I'm believing that you're looking down into this church and you're already gathering up the eagles. And Father God, I know that some in here have such a strong anointing upon their lives and the enemy is trying to everything that he has to take that anointing. But also know that they have made up their mind. No going back, no looking back. They have made up their mind to walk forward and not backwards. They have made up their mind to be the strong tower that others can run into. They have made up their mind that no matter what you allow them to go through, that you're with them. Every circumstance are here you see, Father God. You know every circumstance that we're already going to go through. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you and we give you honor and we give you glory. That you are the true King and the true Lord of all things. And Father, I thank you.